Thank you, Lord, for this day that you have given to us. Thank you for your word. And it's been so exciting so far in Chronicles. Some of the material has been extremely timely. It's been helpful. It's still relevant to us today. So as we study this section too, may we understand maybe our role, our purpose in what you have in store for us as we talk about your army that you build for your kingdom and for your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever feel like you do not fit in? I don't know of anyone who says that they perfectly fit in. Even popular kids, I'll talk with them, and half the times they're saying, I just am faking it. I really don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know how I fit into the group that I'm in, but I'm going to go ahead and run with it anyway. We often ask ourselves the question, why did God make us the way he made us? Do you ever ask that question? Do you ever ask the question, or do you ever say, if there was one thing I could change about myself, I really wish I could have three things I could change about myself? Sometimes we don't understand how we fit in because we're focused so much on how we're different, and we often take that which makes us unique, different than anyone else, and we try to do our best to change it or to modify it so it's like everyone else. I've talked to people who had kind of a little bit of a crooked smile. I mean, they would smile and you look at them, you're like, a little bit like the Mona Lisa, you know, half's there and half's not. And they work really hard on trying to change that uniqueness about themselves in order to fit in. Some people say, I don't know why God gave me the laugh God gave me. It's a goofy laugh. It's a silly laugh. And every time I do, people always kind of look at me weird, like, did that just come out of your mouth there? And so we work really hard on taking that which God made us unique and change it. Maybe we have a mole on our face and we're always trying to find ways to cover it up. We don't like to stick out. Maybe we don't like our hair color or our hair shape. And so we do everything we can to modify that. Maybe our knees are too knobby and we wonder, everyone's staring at my knees. And everything that we find about ourselves that is unique, we do everything we can to cover that over so that we're no longer being unique. God has created you in a special way in order to utilize your giftings that you have. He's still looking for it. He's like, I'm going to walk out. Yeah, dun da 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 da. God made you special. It was yours? Pizza next week, baby. Pizza next week. It's our rule. Your phone goes off. You owe me pizza. Everyone's checking their phones now. Turn off. Yeah, it was great. She looks at Harold like, how dare your phone go off? Yeah, and Harold's like, oh my gosh. She's walking away like, no, that's not my phone. What do I do? Happens. We call that humility. God sometimes teaches us humility. Yeah, it happens. God has made you a special person to fit in, maybe in ways that you don't know yet. In this section of 1 Chronicles, I remember when I first started studying this, I actually was a little nervous because I had to preach it for class, and I'm thinking to myself, is there anything preachable in it? And I started reading through, I'm like, there's really nothing preachable. Maybe I should go to an easier passage so that I could preach it in class and get a good grade. And I said, you know what? Let me just trust, because I think I've mentioned to you how often I have PMS, pre-message syndrome, and I read the stuff like on Sunday or Monday, and I'm reading through the passage. I'm like, there is nothing in here. Like, God's word is not going to speak anything to us. And then it always happens. It has never failed me. You start studying, and soon there's so much material. As I started studying this, it's a listing of some of the people who were part of David's army. And as I'm going through the list and some of their attributes, I'm thinking to myself, these are a bunch of freaks. Like, they don't, it doesn't make any sense. Like, some of the things they highlight, I'm like, that is so bizarre. And I kept asking myself the question, which is one I hope you ask all the time, which is, why is this material in here? Again, as I've said, 1 Chronicles was written at a time when the people have re-entered the land. They have been on a timeout for 70 years. And they've wondered, has God abandoned us, when all of a sudden a miracle edict from King Cyrus sends them back into the land and they start rebuilding the temple. And some of the things that they start focusing on is, why did God punish us in the first place? And you will see them figuring that lesson out next week really well, because they realize we didn't follow God properly, and when we don't, there's consequences to those actions. And here, they're probably wondering, how do we fit into the grand overall scheme of God's creation, of God's favor onto this particular nation, the Israelite nation? And they started realizing that they do fit in. I don't know how many times I've found people come alive when they figure out, how do I fit in the kingdom of God, and then how do I utilize what I have for His glory? To me, it's the most exciting when teenagers and college students figure this out. But I have seen other people. People have been a part of churches for years and years and years and years, and they sit around and they're like, I really don't know what I'm doing here. Until one day something happens and it clicks. They go, ah, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm a part of this particular congregation. That's why I'm part of God's kingdom. I have special gifts that not everyone else has. If you were all the same, it would be extremely boring. But you have been created with uniqueness built in. Your job is not to hide that uniqueness. Your job is to celebrate how you are different from everyone else. Those things that sometimes you feel are so obvious and are embarrassing are the very things that God is going to use in other people. And in this section of 1 Chronicles 12, we're going to meet four different groups of people and their uniqueness of how God created them. We're going to see those four. Before we read the text, I would like to imagine, if I were back in the time of King David, if I were a welcoming recruiter of David's army, if I were someone that the text says day after day, people kept joining David's army, and you wonder, what would it have been like to be someone who greets them, who welcomes them in, and who finds a way to plug them in into the army in a special way by highlighting only four different ways. So I would like you to imagine that I am that recruiter and that you are all my new recruits. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So glad that you are here. I am glad that you have come to join up with David's army. I am excited to see how all of you fit in, because I want you to look around. Take a look around. Take a look around. See how there is such diversity here in David's army. So many people are different, have unique things about them. And I want to say it right from the get-go. Get this, know this, love this. We need you. We need you and how God created you in order to be about David's work and to be a part of David's army. Every single day I see new recruits just like all of you, and every day I am excited to welcome you here to David's army to see how do you fit in. Because remember, we need you. So let me introduce you to some of the groups that we have around. Okay, yeah. There's a group back here. All right, so do you see this group right over here? I'm going to call them the skilled. Now, this group of people are extremely amazing. They are actually relatives of Psycho Saul, the loony leader, the crazy king, King Saul. They are actually family members. They have family relations with King Saul. But something happened along the way. And I don't know exactly what that was, but they decided to jump ship, leaving behind the king and realizing that King David was going to be where it's at. David was going to become king, and so they decided to join him. And they've been with him for a while. Now, do you remember that whole Ziklag experience that happened with good old David? David's running from the long arm of the king, and he decides to head down into Philistine enemy territory. There was a group of fighters that went with him. That was them. They were the ones who said, I know that David is going to be where God is going to bless. And so they joined him. Now, why do I call them the skilled? They have a unique quality about them that not everyone has. They are fighters. They are warriors, but they are long-distance fighters. They have an ability to shoot bows and arrows, and they can also sling a stone with deadly accuracy. Not too impressed. What's really interesting about them is they can do it with their right hand and their left hand. That's right, they are ambidextrous. And you might think, well, what's so special about that? Because we all have come to believe, and it is true, that people who are left-handed probably have some sort of cursing from God. They are cursed by God, and they're not quite right, and they're often shunned. But this group of people did not say to themselves that it is a curse. They said, how can I use how God created me in order to bless God and to work in David's army? So these left-handed shooters, let me tell you how amazing it is. Now, I was talking to one of them, and they were sharing how they were going out on a Ziklag raid. They were hitting one of the towns nearby, and they're fighting with David, and they came to a town, and you know how most towns, the opening gate has a sharp right-hand turn right when you get into it. And we all know that that's for good defensive reasons. If you decide to come into it, if you are right-handed like myself, in order to enter into the battle, I have to fully and utterly expose myself before I can fight. But not these guys. They're left-handers. So that's the reason why they can turn around a corner and they could peek in, keeping their body completely and utterly protected, and they could take their slings, and they can shoot, and they can also shoot left. I can't shoot left-handed, but they could shoot left-handed without ever having to expose themselves. I tell you, it is unique how something that other people think is a liability in the hands of God can be used for his glory. Skilled. We need people like that. All right, let's take a look at this group over here. I call them the heavy lifters. Yeah, I know. Take a look. They're a little weird looking, aren't they? Yeah, a little strange. You're like, why do they look like lions? Yeah, they kind of have the face of a lion. Well, it's because they've actually kind of really adopted that as their role. They don't not only look like lions, but they act like them. They are fierce in battle. Each one of them carries a shield and a spear, and boy, do they know how to use them. Don't let their size and their strength fool you, because they are fast. They are gazelle fast. I've seen them. As we are pursuing an enemy that's running away, these guys could come up from behind and overtake them without ever having to enter into a battle. It is incredible to watch them. Now, take a look. Do you see the short one over there? Yeah, the short one can take on 100 people by himself. The tall one, he can take on 1,000. These people are the ones you want on your team. They are the heavy lifters. Whenever the battle is raging, it's these guys that rush in. And they will do whatever it takes to get the job done. You order them, they go, and it is incredible. I was talking to some of them about how they got here. they had to cross over from the territory of Gad. And as you know, you have to end up crossing over the Jordan River. Well, when they started to make their trek to join up with the army, the Jordan River was at flood stage, which, as you know, makes it virtually impassable. These guys, every single one of them, crossed the Jordan. Don't ask me how they did it. It was pretty incredible. And then when they entered into the land, there was all these tribes and these nomadic people that they ended up having to fight. And soon it became very evident to everyone around that you don't want to engage these guys because they are fierce fighters. They are like lions. They're the heavy lifters. They are the battle-tested warriors. It became so incredible that when they showed up into a region, as they kept on traveling, the news would spread and groups would run away before the fight even took place. Heavy lifters. We need people like that. All right, let's see. This group over here. I call them the loyalists. I really don't know what to call them. I really don't even know what they do. They really have no special unique talent or gifting about them at all. They're kind of plain looking. And they're very interesting because they also come from the same family relations as the skilled. So they're cousins with crazy King Saul. But what's interesting about them is when they decided to show up, there was a little bit of hesitation about, are they going to actually be here for good purposes or not? I mean, they are related to the king. And so as they started to show up, something incredible happened. David got wind of them coming in. And so he went out to meet them before they came in. And he looked out at them and he asked them, hey, why are you guys here? Are you guys here for the right purposes? Are you here for the right reasons? If you're here in order to betray me, if you are here in order to turn me over to King Saul, then turn around and go home. We will have absolutely nothing to do with you. But if you've come in peace, if you've come in shalom, then we shall welcome you in. Their leader stepped forward. At first, we thought maybe a battle was going to ensue because David is questioning their motives. And I know how it is when someone questions my motives. Many times, I'm ready for a fight. This guy steps forward, and he looks at King David, and he pledges his unwavering support. And as we're watching him, it was as if someone was coming over him. And he shouted out, Shalom! Peace. And he pointed to David. He says, peace to you and peace to all who are with you because God is with you. Well, there was no point of that. They're welcome. Come on in. We were glad to have them. These are people that somehow or other have the Spirit of God on their life. Sometimes they think they're weird because they have no special talent, no special gifting that makes them unique. But when they speak, it's as if God's word is coming through their lives and it is completely evident. Loyalists. We need people like that. And then over here, we've got, I call them the leaders. Incredible people. People who seem to have this unique ability to, when we are strategizing and talking about engaging the enemy, they know the right path. They have been given such wisdom that when they offer up a course of action, everyone around goes, that's right. Yes, that's correct. I would have never thought it. Every single one of them commands people and everyone listens to them. Now, have you ever ran into a leader who wasn't really a good leader? They're kind of like middle management and it's because they really can't do anything else. And so it's like, oh, well, just go and lead. That's not these guys. Every single one of them also can fight. But they are not content to simply just let the army go into battle while they stay at a safe distance, right? Where they keep their hands clean, they don't really see much action. Every single one of them will go into battle. They will not only command the people they're with, but they will fight right alongside of them. I was talking to one of them, and he was telling me about a battle that had ensued, and part of their group had a father and a son who were part of their battalion. And when they had entered into battle, the tragedy hit, and the son was killed. I do not know grief like that. I cannot even begin to imagine the pain that that father must have gone through at the loss of his son. But what really amazes me is that that father would allow his son to go into harm's way and offer up his life for other people. Leaders. We need people like that. So how do you fit in? How do you fit in? Maybe you've got something unique about yourself, something that's weird and quirky, and maybe you fit in with the skilled, something that God has given to you that no one else has, and maybe you haven't considered, how do I use this to the glory of God? And God will be able to show that to you. Or maybe you're a heavy lifter. I know a lot of people are heavy lifters. They're just workers. You give them a task to do, they're there to do it. They'll do it by any means necessary. They are the grunts that just simply get the job done that needs to be done. Or maybe you're a loyalist, maybe you don't really fit in other places, but you can somehow hear God's voice. You know, when God speaks through you and you speak to other people, they actually listen. Or maybe you're a leader, maybe you're a natural leader, a God-gifted leader, or maybe you've grown up and learned the skill of leadership so that when you give a course of action, it is always the right course of action with such great wisdom. I don't know how you fit in, but all I know is this. We need you as part of David's army. Now, some of us have been kicking around the idea that maybe we shouldn't be called David's army. Because to be honest, the army's getting too big for one man. David is a great leader and a great king, and we're excited for him to be on the throne. But every single day, people are coming not just for the cause of King David, but they're coming for the cause of the kingdom of God. And so we have been tossing around the idea that maybe we shouldn't be called David's army. Instead, we should just simply be called God's army. And in God's army, we need you. Take a look with me now, 1 Chronicles 12. You're going to see, did you want to clap for that? Oh, that's what I presented in class. The marks that I got against me were twofold. The first one, it's going to shock you. They said I was too loud. And you got to imagine, I'm trying to imagine the space. Like, it's a classroom maybe the size of maybe from here. You know, I'll go this way. Yeah, from about here to the wall and from here to over about here. And so I got people that are literally in the front row just like this. And I'm like, and we need you! And they're like, whoa, brother, come on down. So I got all these marks like, wow, that was really big. You filled the space, probably a little too big. And I'm like, well, I just imagine my group. I got a bigger crowd to deal with. But then the other one, which was really interesting, and I agree with, I couldn't do it there in a 15-minute time period, but how do we start connecting the giftings that you have specifically into God's army? Because again, with these four things, they're kind of general categories, but it still applies for us today. You know, if you are a skilled person, maybe you know computers. For some reason, like, you can figure that stuff out, and you are incredible at it. Let me tell you, having that skill especially with someone like me who doesn't really do computers very well, we kind of need help in that area. Or maybe you're a graphic artist, right, Josh? Maybe you're a graphic artist. I'm not trying to just brag only on my own kids here, but Joshua has this incredible ability. You should ask him every week, because every week he draws a picture that corresponds with what we talk about during the day. And it's really fascinating, because there was one where I said the phrase, Satan is like a snake in wolf's clothing. And he actually drew that. Like, how do you do that? Like, I can do stick figures. I can't draw to save my life. Maybe some of you think to yourself, well, all I know how to do is to just get stuff done. If you give me a task, I may not have all the right talents and abilities, but man, I can accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Do you understand how many people it takes to run a church? It is a lot of people. And we sometimes think to ourselves, well, I'm not really special in that way. Let me tell you, it's these people who, I watch you guys. Do you realize I have never once ever told this church that after church is over, you need to put the chairs away? But so many of you are heavy lifters. You just simply like, hey, there's something that needs to be done. I'm going to grab a chair and I'm going to put it away. I don't have any other special skills or talents or abilities. I had someone last week who was visiting. And afterwards, he just comes up to me. He goes, I need to do something. Can I put stuff away in your truck? And I'm like, why, yes, you can. That would be fabulous. And so he comes in and he just starts grabbing stuff and he's tossing it in the truck. And it was fantastic. He's a heavy lifter. He's someone that just knows how to get things done. And then I know that there's others who have the wisdom of God on their lives. They speak not for their own benefit, but always trying to understand what would God say in this situation. People who maybe have a depth of prayer. You know, they're not good at folding up chairs and putting them away, and they have no other skill and talent and ability, but man, they pray. There are people who, when a prayer request needs to be prayed for, these are the people that they go to. These are the people who are friends to outsiders because they exude the love of God in their life. I see so many teenagers are like that. They somehow, even in their youth, have the Spirit of God in their life. And I don't know how many times youth have said some of the most incredible, profound, wise things to me. And I look at them and I go, you're too dumb to have come up with that on your own. And it's not an insult. It's just simply being wise beyond your human capability. And I think of the youth, especially here, and some of the things that you guys say, you blow me away, and it is incredible. And then I think of people who are leaders. These are people who can step into a situation and say, you know what, I think we need to do this. I never, ever, ever pretend to be the only leader here, because I've gotten it wrong many a times. Especially as we even talk about possibly merging with another congregation. I could never in a million years make that decision on my own. I'll be a part of the conversations. I will speak my mind into stuff, but we have people who know how to lead, and they are on the board of directors. But I also know, don't get me wrong, you do not need to be on the board of directors to exercise leadership. Some of the most incredible leaders that we have are people that just come up to me and say, hey, have you thought about this? And I go, wow, I never would have in a million years thought that. And it's incredible to hear people exercise their leadership giftings for the glory of God. So I don't know what you have that's different. I like to bring it up because I think I brought it up many a times. I so vividly, and they're not here, so I can talk about them a lot. Dave and Amy Prince. Amy Prince, one time, she comes up to me, she's like, Pastor Mark, I can't do anything very well. I have no skill whatsoever. And we all start laughing at her because, especially my family that likes to eat food, have you ever had Amy's cookies, like, after church? Like, she brings them. She'll actually, on a Saturday night, post saying, making cookies for church. And when we tell our kids that, they're like, yes, we want to go. I said, Amy, you are bringing the youth to the church just simply because you can bake cookies. Some people come because they've got influence. Some people have talents that are very readily seen. They can sing, they can play the drums, they can run PowerPoint, they can do soundboards. There's other talents that are visible, but what is the invisible qualities that maybe you have? You've got to start asking the question, how do I fit in? 1 Chronicles 12. As we go through this, I'm just going to read, and you're going to see these four categories of people. As we go through, you need to be asking yourself the question, how do I fit in? The worst thing you can say is, I don't fit in anywhere, so I will not do anything. You don't. David's army was being amassed day by day, and the people that came in, they're like, yeah, we'll put you to work. We'll figure something out for you. It's incredible. As we go through, I'll be skipping some of the sections where there's a lot of listings of names. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 1, we're going to start with the skilled. These were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was banished from the presence of Saul, son of Kish. They were among the warriors who helped him in battle. They were armed with bows and were able to shoot arrows or to sling stones right-handed or left-handed. They were kinsmen of Saul from the tribe of Benjamin. And let me tell you, it is true. Back in those days, left-handed people were considered freaks. Complete freaks of nature. You would often do whatever you could if you were left-handed to try and bind your left hand so that you could learn how to do things with your right hand and right hand only. So it is incredible when you have a talent like that. Isn't that right, Emily? Left-handed people unite. Yes. And it is true. I didn't know that because I often wondered, who cares about a left-handed person in battle? But it is actually true. Most cities were built with that right-hand turn in mind. So that if I were sitting out here and I needed to enter into a battle, if I was a right-handed shooter, I would have to come all the way out in order to shoot that. But if I was left-handed, I could stay hidden. And I could sling a stone. If I slung a stone with my right hand, I'd have to come in order to take the shot. But the left-handed people could actually disable the enemy's forces so much cleaner. Again, something that was originally thought of as a curse by God was used by God. There you will see the listings. Verse 8, we have the heavy lifters. Some Gadites, so they're across the Jordan River, defected to David at his stronghold in the desert. They were brave warriors, ready for battle and able to handle the shield and the spear. Not everyone's cut out for fighting, right? But if you're one of these people, it's good. I think that, to be honest, I think the majority of people in churches are heavy lifters. They're just people that, hey, I need something done. They'll get it done, and they just get it done the way they do it. But not everyone's made that way, but these people are. They just simply love to help. They are servants in all of the most positive ways. And it says, their faces were the faces of lions, and they were as swift as gazelles in the mountains. Back in those days, if you had the face of something, that meant you had the qualities and properties of that. So it was talking about their countenance, their abilities. They were fighters. And they were swift as gazelles on the mountains, which is really amazing that these people were not only fierce fighters, but they were fast. There's the listing of them. And then it talks about how these Gadites were army commanders. The least was a match for 100 and the greatest for 1,000. Could you imagine that? Taking on 100 people all on your own? Man, I love it. That's what they're just fighters. Just, I'll go it and I'll do it against all odds. It doesn't matter. And it was they who crossed the Jordan River in the first month when it was overflowing all its bank, and they put to flight everyone living in the valleys to the east and to the west. So whenever they entered in, people started running. Then there were some other people, the Benjamites, and some men from Judah. These are the loyalists. And to be honest, it is true, I had no idea what to name them. Like, I didn't want to call them the spiritualists because that sounds really lame, right? I didn't want to call them the prayers because, you know, that it's more than just that. But listen to what they had. They were also part of Saul's kinship. And so when they came, there was some concern about them. That's why verse 17, David went out to meet them and said to them, if you have come to me in peace, and the word there, peace, is the Hebrew word, shalom, then to help me, I am ready to have you unite with me. But if you have come to betray me to my enemies when my hands are free from violence, may the God of our fathers see it and judge you. then the Spirit, and here's where the Spirit of God, just incredible, came upon Amasai, chief of the 30, this was their 30, and said, "We are yours, O David. We are with you, O son of Jesse." I'm just so angry at NIV. Success? Does anyone have a different word than success? What do you have? You have peace! And that's the exact word. It's shalom. Shalom means peace and wholesome. And I have no idea, again, NIV translators are brilliant people. Why they chose the word success there, I have no idea. The word is shalom. It's peace. And that's what they're saying. David's like, "Hey, do you come in peace?" And they're like, "Yes, we do. Peace, peace to you, and peace to those who help you, for your God will help you." So David received them and made them leaders of his raiding bands. Then you got the leaders. Some of the men of Manasseh defected to David, verse 19, when he went with the Philistines to fight against Saul. He and his men did not help the Philistines because after consultation, the rulers, skip forward to verse 20 at the parentheses, feeds you more information. Verse 20, when David went to Ziklag, these were the men of Manasseh who defected to him. And then it gives the listing of them. And at the end of the verse, it says, they're leaders of units of 1,000 in Manasseh. So this is their commanders. Their leaders defected in order to join his army. Verse 21, they helped David against raiding bands, for all of them were brave warriors, and they were commanders in his army. And that's what is so unique about it. Because I don't know about you, I have met leaders who will not fight with the people that they command. They'll call the shots, stay safely in the confines of their own thing, and if something bad happens, guess who takes the fall? The lackeys underneath them. I've seen this happen time and time again, but that wasn't these people. They were leaders, all of them, that then went and fought in the army with them. And verse 22, day after day, men came to help David until he had a great army. And this is where it's really cool. Like the army of God. When you join in, please understand this clearly. If you engage in Searchlight Ministries, I am grateful and thankful for that, because it is wonderful when people step forward and say, "I will work, I will help wherever need be." But please understand this, you are not doing it for me. You are not doing it for your family. You're not doing it for your husband and wife that's elbowing you, saying, "You better get involved." You're not even doing this for yourself so that you'll feel good about serving. When you engage in any type of labor like this, you should do it for one reason only: to serve God. Because when you join this, you join God's army. And it also is really helpful, because I've heard people that have engaged in church activities and then something happens. Maybe the pastor moves, or has a moral failing, or maybe you move and you end up in a totally different area of the country and you wonder, how in the world do I fit into this place? And you have to say, when I served at Searchlight Ministries, this is what I did. Maybe I can serve in similar ways, because I'm not serving at Searchlight. I'm not serving because of that temporary shepherd that was put there, Mark Manning. I'm serving God and God alone. And when you have that type of mindset, incredible things will happen. In fact, what ended up happening with a lot of these people, material that I give to you as bonus that I couldn't give to my doctoral class because I only had 15 minutes, was celebrations start happening. When everyone is engaged and when everyone is involved, when everyone has skin in that game, the party happens. And this is what happens at the end of verse 12. You're going to see the listings starting at verse 23. It just talks about a bunch of numbers and the different tribes that were all starting to defect. They were saying, "You know what? I think that Saul is out. I think Saul is losing his marbles. And I think that maybe we should throw our weight behind who we think is going to be the leader." And that was, I guess you could say, King-elect David. He has not yet been coronated, so to speak. He's getting ready to start that leadership. And so all of these people defected. Now take a look at verse 38. I love this. All these were fighting men who volunteered to serve in the ranks. They came to Hebron fully determined to make David king over all Israel. And so I hope the same is true with you. I hope you are here to make me king over all America. That's my goal. Just king over the Lutheran church would be fine. I'll be okay. I'm just kidding about that too, people. It might be. All the rest of the Israelites were also of one mind to make David king. Now check out verse 39, and it talks about the celebrations that starts happening. The men spent 3 days there with David, eating and drinking, for their families had supplied provisions for them. Also their neighbors from as far away as Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali came bringing food on donkeys, camels, mule, and oxen. There were plentiful supplies of flour, fig Newtons, it's a rough translation, raisin cakes, wine, oil, Kentucky Fried Chicken, cattle and sheep. This is, what would we call this in our vernacular today? The potluck, baby, because it's a fun thing. If you ever wondered, are potlucks in the scriptures? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Should we celebrate potlucks? Yes. So Louise is always harassing me. When is the next potluck? And that's Harold too. Because Harold asks me often, like, what gift do I have to bring to this church? So you already know it. It's unique. It's crazy. Roger's got gifts. Roger has a good gift. He has a fabulous gift, and he shares his giftings with me on a regular basis, and it gladdens my heart. Everyone here, I could go through. Yeah, yeah, Jim. Yeah, the two Philistine jerseys. Yeah, because we often think to ourselves, I often wonder if that is some of the stuff of the suspicion we have around other people. I think this is very much like that. I am always marveling at church where, would you ever hang out with the people that are around you on a normal basis? Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, sometimes like, oh yeah, I'd hang out with that person. But sometimes I get around you and I'm like, man, you are so weird. But it's awesome because God made us different in that way. And God made us to come together to serve. And you might even be a Rams fan. I'm so sorry. You might be a former San Diego Chargers fan. Oh, Rich. You might be able to sing, and you use God's gifting in that way. And maybe you're a terrible singer, and you're like, but I want to sing. Fine, I'll put you up there. It's crazy how things happen. Some people wonder, well, I voted for Trump. But no, I voted for Hillary. There's even some weird people here. They voted for Johnson. It's incredible. We all come together. We are so different, and I love it. And we should never, ever, ever allow our differences to overcome our relationships, especially the biggest relationship we have, and that is with God Himself. So when you find a place to serve, you serve in that way. Irene? Exactly, yeah. So these are the people. 40,800. Yep. Wow. Yeah, yeah. These are, and you got to imagine how crazy this is, because King Saul, he was a crazy king. He was one that when he ruled, if you disagreed with his leadership, you're dead, you're gone. You know, he was told early on that David, his son-in-law, wouldn't that be awkward? Your son-in-law is going to become king, and several times he tries to kill him. Like, it's amazing. And yet people realized that God's spirit wasn't with Saul anymore. They realized, no, it's with David. There was new leadership that was coming up, and it was incredible. I remember when I first became a pastor, and it was really challenging because when you're a newbie, you don't know everything. And I will never forget people that would throw their weight behind me saying, yeah, he's an idiot. Yeah, he often doesn't know what he's talking about. Man, he makes a lot of mistakes and says some really stupid things. But you know what? He's trying to do God's work, and I'm behind that, and I'm going to serve that, and I'm going to serve with them. And I'm amazed whenever that happens. So these are people that joined into the army, and every day more and more people were like, it's starting to swing more so that now David will fully be in charge. And again, ask yourself the question, why? These are people that are long removed from King David, long removed from the army that was being assembled. They were going back into the land. It was the same thing. People were coming like, I don't have a skill. All I know how to do is masonry work. So they said, okay, fine. You're going to help build the temple. I'm not very good at masonry, but I can wield a sword. Fabulous. You're going to be hooked up with a mason, so you'll have a trowel in one hand, you'll have a sword in the other, and you're going to be the protectors of that area. Somebody's like, well, all I know how to do is sing, and there's not even a temple here yet. There's not even a place for me to sing. And they're like, you know, that's okay, because you know what? You're going to go, when we go out into fights, you're going to lead the way. How would you like that? Front lines? Like, you guys are singing like, Almighty Lord, can you come up here with your sword, please? Yeah, come right in front. No, they would actually put the singers out front. Like, could you imagine that? Would you be terrified? I'd be terrified. That's why I'm not a good singer. Yeah, I'll just stand in the back. God has created you in a unique way, and I pray that you figure it out, because Searchlight needs you, but more importantly, God needs you. He created you special for a reason and a purpose, in order to serve him, to bring him glory. Let's pray. Father, forgive us, for we often despise our uniqueness. You have given us that crooked smile. You have given us that weird mole. You've given us those knobby knees. You've given us a voice. You've given us hands that are calloused from years of labor. And we just try and do everything we can to avoid working for you the way you want us to. And I pray that we would no longer despise how we were created. That instead we would be okay with standing up and saying, this is how God made me, and I'm good with that. That we'd be able to say, I don't even know how God's going to use me yet, but I'm sure he will. I pray that you would help us to cut through all that negative noise of how terrible we are. And instead we would see ourselves as incredible blessings to this world. Lord, we do this all the time when we say, I wish I was more like so-and-so. Or we compare other people, I wish you were more like so-and-so. And I pray that we wouldn't be like that at all. That, Lord, I wish you would make me more like Mark Manning. And for everyone here, that they would want to be more of who you made them to be. When we think of the giftings that we have, we obviously go to the one who was created in an incredible way, not even created, Lord, I speak in heresy, for he who is God in the flesh and who could accomplish something that no one else could, to be pure God and pure man. And he didn't shy away from his mission either. It'd be so easy to, I know I would be tempted by the accolades of men. I would be torn down by the destructive power of words of men, but not Jesus. For Jesus gave up his life so that we could be saved. And no one else could do that. We may try, but we'll never succeed. And we thank you for him and for what he has done for us. And help us now, Lord, to find the ways that you have created us and find ways to serve you in incredible ways. Not for the glory of Searchlight Ministries, not even for our own glory to receive accolades, but solely for your glory. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.